Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Wake Up Hollywood with Nikki Kalula and Eddie Pence, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Hollywood, this is your host with the most, Nikki Kalula. We are pre-recording this show today because of the holidays and scheduling and craziness. We're here with David Mickler and Brad Fletcher. Did I get that right?
You got it right.
Man, I was so nervous in that intro. I was like, shit, how can I mess up David Mickler when my name's Nikhil Kalula? That is as clunky as it comes, but I got it.
You nailed it.
I almost said Fickler because I was like, Fletcher. I'm like, no. Mickler.
I get it all.
We're interchangeable. It's fine.
How did you guys become friends?
Oh.
We're friends from back in college.
Okay.
Many moons ago.
Yes. Where did you go to school?
Indiana University.
Okay. Big basketball fans, I hope?
Yes, sir.
Yes.
Dude, you guys went to the basketball school forever, right?
Yeah. We were there when Coach Knight got canned.
Wow.
Yeah.
What was that, your freshman year, I assume?
It was pretty, yeah, freshman year,
sophomore. Well, you're a few years older than me. So I mean, I came in
like... Thank you for
like,
pointing that out.
He's a foot closer to the grave than I am, as they would say.
Yeah.
But we met, and it was... Because I came in when the riots were happening. They were ripping trees out of the ground,
really?
Lighting them on fire in celebration. What? This was not a loss-related thing.
This is just because.
Because
you're in the middle of Bloomington, Indiana, just
there's not
ready
a lot
to party.
Else
yes.
To do.
You know, it's funny. That was one of the music schools I was looking at.
Oh, it's a great music school.
It's a great music school. But somebody from the school was like, hey, man, you're from L.A. You're probably not going to want to be in the middle of nowhere. And I was like, well, maybe. And I actually love the campus, but there is not a lot outside of Bloomington.
Bloomington, and then there's
Bloomington's
nothing.
Like the highlight, which is exactly. Great because it is a happening city, college town, and then nothing. It's just flat and open and basketball hoops for
and
until,
cows.
Yes,
that's it.
Yes, but it is. It must have been awesome going to college there.
Yeah, it was a really good experience.
Yeah, it's a good school. We were both in the theater program where we met. We worked together on some play. I don't remember. And
I'm sure it was great. I'm sure it was really good.
Whatever it was
classic.
Fantastic.
It was a sold out play.
It was sold out. Okay. We still get comments about it,
that's
whatever
awesome.
It was called. And we I think we shared a sandwich.
We did.
And
that was it. You were like,
yeah.
Can we just create things together for eternity?
Yes. And now we finish each other's
sandwiches.
Yeah. Oh, that was perfect.
Yeah. And we have a joint bank account.
Do you remember the sandwich
that
was, you know, what you were breaking bread?
Yeah, it was, what was it? It was some kind of meat.
Pastrami and jelly. It's,
Yeah.
You kind of take the best of two sandwich worlds.
Sweet and savory combo.
Yeah. That's taking it to a huge new level. So when did you guys come to LA?
I moved out here in 2005.
Okay.
Yeah, it was 2003.
Okay. Yeah. So you were like, you know what? Forget cows and basketball. We're going to the big city.
Yes.
Where did you guys actually grow up? Where are you actually from?
I'm from Michigan originally.
Okay. Right. What city in Michigan?
Grand Rapids.
Okay.
Yeah.
My old sax player was from Grand Rapids.
Yeah, it's a cool city now. Yeah. It was terrifying when I was a child. But
why is that?
It's improved greatly in the last few years, yeah.
A lot of music there, though.
Yeah, really good music scene, and beer is kind of their other big thing.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Awesome. And you?
Louisville. Kentucky.
Oh, man, another basketball. Dude,
that's right.
You must have been either highly intimidated with all the basketball around you, or you're a huge basketball fan and player.
I'm going to say both.
Okay.
Cool. I'm always intimidated in any situation I'm in. But, no, I was a Cards fan growing up. We used to go to the games. It was a big family event. And by the time I got to IU, I was like, I mean, they're good, but I'm a Cards fan.
Yeah, right.
You know,
you're you guys are okay. Yeah. Did you go to the Kentucky Derby?
Oh, yeah, many times.
I went to the Derby once for a bachelor party, and I fell in love with Louisville. Great city. It's a wild time. Your weather sucks because it was like raining pretty much the whole time I was there, but great city. Great city. So
yeah, it's beautiful.
I approve of both your cities that you come from.
Oh, man. Oh, we made it.
And what did you, so you both studied theater?
Yeah.
And then were you like, I'm not feeling this, or did you come to LA because acting and the whole entertainment world is here?
Yeah, it was a very not well thought out plan. We're like, I guess you go to New York or LA, and
you're like, well, let's go to LA.
Yeah, right? Let's go to the place with better weather.
Yeah,
yeah. I mean, I have a theater degree with no minor. Okay. I would say I didn't really have a plan.
You went balls to the wall.
I was like, I know folks out there. They have a room available.
Right.
Let's see what happened. And yeah, I mean, I think we both kind of petered out of the acting world, even though Brad was really the star.
You were like, yes, that play
tell
that
me,
I started.
Tell me more about me.
I mean, it was impressive to see you on stage. I might have cried.
It all happened. Well, you know what? This is where LA earns its real estate.
Oh, yeah.
I'm from LA, and like every winter, I'm like, man, this is the best place. Just because the weather's like this. I'm in shorts and a t-shirt, and it's December 16th. You know, it's like, this is crazy.
Well, I'm freezing. Outside. I'm like, I don't know how. Yeah, we were out last night. I'm like, it is so cold. I'm dying.
That's when you know you've been here long enough.
Yes, yeah. That's true. That's true. When the weather makes you weaker as a person for cold. So you guys came up with this amazing game. Let's talk about this. It's called Horrible Haikus.
That's right.
Tell me, what was the process that made you excited to make this happen? Because what an interesting, first of all, niche to just say, you know what? We should make this a board game. Tell me how that...
Thank you.
And it was definitely a drunken conversation. Tell me how that drunken conversation came about.
There were probably many drunken conversations. We're practiced at that.
Yeah, well-versed.
Yeah, I don't really remember exactly how it came together. We are fans of other games. I'm not as much as a gamer as Brad and his wife. I usually like sit in the corner when they're playing games, but we...
Which isn't creepy at all.
Not at all. And... But we came up with this idea, you know, you're taking poems, you are adding a performance element to it, and so it gives it a little more life. Now, that didn't come up right away. It was a lot of play testing. Like,
started with the name.
Yeah. Hmm.
And we're just the words Horrible Haikus, and we were kind of like, how do we break that down? And so then we started getting into, okay, what are the elements of a haiku? You know, your five-syllable and seven-syllable, five-syllable.
Right.
So we.
So was step one, write 1,000 horrible haikus.
We actually
when we were first really going on this, we were in Idlewild for a film festival, and we just rented this cabin, and it was snowy and cold, and we just had a bunch of beer and notepads.
It's very romantic.
Nobody talked to each other. We just sat in our corners and like wrote. Just hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of haikus.
That's awesome.
So, yeah, we wrote full haikus first, and then we broke them down.
You fully went Stephen King. You were like, we need to get a cabin in the snow, and we just need to write.
That's
right. I think at one point we had 14 or 1,500 haikus written. David had at least... 9 to 12 that involved wallets. He's got a weird thing with wallets.
I think it's 4 to 6. Well, I have a paranoia about
what's your paranoia?
Losing my wallet.
Wow.
You know, it's your whole life.
Yeah. Yeah, that's very true.
It's my identity.
It's
who
really
am I?
Cell phone and wallet are like, those are the two, you know?
I don't know who I am anymore.
Right.
Without my wallet.
Right.
Yeah, and we started kind of we put it into a Google program to kind of do the analytics on all the stuff we had written because like we probably have doubled up on a few things, and I wish unfortunately radio you can't show it, but we had a chart made up of like the most common words used, and it was mortifying.
Wow, really?
Yeah. Well, but what's funny is that's how we found out about the wallet thing, because it's all these like horrible terms, so horrible like terms, and then wallet.
Your psyche and the way you think and like hobbies or like. Just like things that are peculiar or curiosities, that's where it all comes out.
It was like some free Google Docs therapy.
Wow.
Really, like we learned a lot about ourselves, how we repeat ourselves a lot, the things we're constantly interested in, you know.
Right.
But yeah, wallets, A lot of swear words, a lot of fecal.
What was the favorite swear word? There must have been one.
Can we swear?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, it was fuck.
Okay,
yeah.
That's a good
one. We used that a fucking lot.
You know, but we had to, like, pull back because you start relying on that. You know, it loses its power.
Yeah, that's true. You have to spare the fuck.
Yeah, we actually ended up taking a ton of those out because it just it seems like a cheap, you know,
you got
way
all
to
like
get the laugh.
English lit major 101. You're like, you know what, this is, I don't know, it's just kind of tarnishing my work, we need to take this fuck
yo
out.
Yeah, I mean, I think our graphs even showed us it even described like our butt to wiener ratio was out of whack with our wallet to whatever, you know, like.
That's amazing. That's awesome.
So, yeah, we spent a lot of time. Maybe some would say too much time, but...
But that, you know what? That's attention to detail. Like, I actually think that's amazing because it is, like, I was just talking about this last week. I feel like as an artist or a creator, it's, like, all about being consistent. So it's, like, if you're just drawing that circle, it's about just being that person that draws it so well that every time you need to do it, it's there. So, like, when you're coming up with haikus... You need it to be that dialed in and that kind of like, you know, that work ethic has to
absolutely
be there.
Yeah. Absolutely. I mean, we were doing it so much that we would find ourselves just standing in line or talking with somebody counting syllables.
You know, like, yeah, you get so much into the thing and with your finger counting every time somebody's saying something to you and you're just sitting there and being like, wait, they said that. That's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
If I use a conjunction, that could be a 7.
Right. Yes. So you're not paying attention to most of the content. You're mostly counting words. Make sure.
Yeah, counting. You're in your 5-finger hand, then counting on your 7-finger hand, and then back on your 5-finger hand.
That 7-finger hand sounds peculiar. I don't know if I want to see.
You don't have one?
Not yet.
I'm sorry about the accident.
What was one of the most astonishing, peculiar, or funny haikus?
Oh, boy. Well,
I know you wrote a lot. I see them all in there.
We've got a lot. And see, all these cards, too, are double-sided.
Oh, I love
it. You have twice the amount of options.
Dude, and you have some great production value. I love the logo. See, those are all the things that make the product sell.
Yeah,
Brad, I like the name. I like the look. Yeah, it's pretty tight.
Thank you very much. You.
Looks like a Japanese kind of... watermark kind of did I nail that?
Yeah, it's literally totally taken from like a 17th century. Yeah,
it's pretty badass
watermark.
I love it. All right, let's hear a haiku.
Well, this is from our original printing of our book, Horrible Haikus the Book, which as you can see, it was our first book because we didn't put our names on it.
We literally forgot to put our names in the book.
That's amazing.
So it has
but
no
you
authors.
Know what, it's not just your fault though. There must have been a publisher or there. You know, they didn't notice it either.
There's always somebody else to blame. Sure.
Yeah, it wasn't us. We were prepared.
So what, did you make stickers to put who it's written by?
I saw a sticker.
I was like, you're like, how are we going to remedy this?
Wait, snacks
so how many books did you print? You had to have printed at least 1,000.
Oh, no. We did like 100, I think.
Yeah,
oh,
yeah.
That's not
bad. Through one of the online services, we were actually really pleased with the results.
That's awesome.
They did good work.
Yeah. Let's read a couple.
So this was an original, as written haiku. Here we go. You know what's awesome? Revenge farting on a skunk in front of your friends. I'm a little out of practice.
I like it. You're setting the mood.
You're setting the mood.
You give the giant twist. Your second act is really the triumph, which is usually the part in a movie or a story that... is the lull, but you actually make it the triumph in that. I like that.
Well, thank you. Yeah, I mean, it is a three-act play.
Yeah, it really is.
Absolutely. And so the other element of that is you read the haiku. They're silly on their own. They're funny. The combination is great. But the real key here is our performance element card, which is really telling you how to read your haiku. So... I'll have Brad read one for you.
Yeah, so some of them are kind of a performance-oriented thing. Some of them are just like a performance one we have. You are riding a large falcon.
Oh, wow.
That can mean whatever
that's
you want.
That's awesome.
But when we were game testing...
Dude, you guys are my people. This is like, we're like woven from the same cloth. I love this. This is great.
I remember when we were game testing with this one, and there was a guy, and we were game testing at a brewery, and this guy gets up on his chair, and he is full on flapping and screaming, and it was just ridiculous. And that's kind of like one of those moments where like...
You're like, this is
okay,
it. We're on
this
something.
Is on to it. Everyone's having a blast.
So is that like the performance card is definitely always going to be a factor in this game.
Oh, yeah, that almost always is. So like, and then there's other ones. This yeah, this would be a good one for you, being a music band. The first card is your band name. The second card is your album name. The third card is your hit song.
Oh, I love that. Yeah. This is awesome.
Yeah, so you're piecing together, you know, you get all these different cards that have, you have a bunch of five-syllable cards, a bunch of seven-syllable cards, and fives, and you basically construct your haiku, which is part one of it, and then you perform it, and then, you know, whoever is reading the performance card, they pick their favorite. So it's really just a way to make your friends look
so
stupid.
So it sounds like it's a little bit like, what's that game? Cards Against Humanity, a little bit.
Yeah, it's a similar party game, you know, style thing.
That's awesome.
But we wanted it to be more than people just like reading, right, you know, something. We wanted them to interact and be involved in what they're doing.
And do you, did you put this like as a test? Did you put it in like a table full of strangers, table of friends versus other tables of friends?
Oh, yeah. We had a lot of different groups, different age ranges. I mean, we had
the toddler demographic went poorly.
Wow, really?
Yeah. Yeah, the parents were upset.
It was frowned upon.
So that, now do you have like an ages 15 and up or something like that on it?
Yeah, I think we're marked as 17.
It's 17 and up, okay. Yeah. Honestly, it should be like 30 and up. They're a horrible thing. When we released the game, we had to like put out a disclaimer specifically for our parents.
You're like,
it's just like, I'm really sorry about this.
Yeah, there's a lot of shame that we still deal with during the holiday season.
That's good. Yeah. That's good. No, you know what though? It's like, own it. That's okay. The only way it'll just deflect. It's like, just own it and be like, this is our game. These are our things. You want to make a rated G version? Maybe that's the next version.
That actually is in the works.
On the roadmap, 100%.
So wait, did you? Who actively said we need to try this out with toddlers? And then,
I mean, it just seemed like, you know, they were demanding it.
They were just hanging outside of a liquor store. Yeah, and we just came upon these toddlers and we're like, hey, we'll
they're
buy
spitting
you some
haikus.
Booze.
Why didn't you add that in
you
there?
Know, exactly. We kind of had a little trade off. But they were not into it. They took our money. They actually didn't do the playtest.
No, well, we shouldn't have been playing the dice game with toddlers. outside the liquor store. That was mistake number one.
Yeah.
Now, how does somebody win, or is it like, are you defending your own performance, or is somebody kind of like keeping, is there a score? Like, how does that work?
Yeah, there's not really a score. We kind of leave that up to people. If they want to have a score, they can have a score. But really, it's just about getting people interacting with friends, strangers, whatever, having fun playing a game and just being silly and not being afraid to be silly. And, you know, people spend so much time in their phones and everything else. So that's the cool part about games. It just gets people out of that and actually talking to each other and laughing and having a good
time. Dude, I'm huge on board games, huge on escape rooms, huge on VR. Like, that is my jam. So, you're doing something that, you know what it is, it gets the wheels turning.
Absolutely.
It gets you acting out of your comfort zone. It gets you interacting in a way that is not just day-to-day surface bullshit. It's like, you really, no matter what your day is, what's great about something like this is it erases everything for that moment. And that's the best thing you can do. It's escapism. That's what games are.
Absolutely.
That's why they're created in the first place.
And it's a sense of fellowship that you don't get a lot.
Yeah.
You know, when you're doing everything online, you're disconnected. And this is, you're all in a room. You're all acting silly. You're letting yourself be vulnerable by, you know, trying to be creative and just, you know, it's been very positive. All the testing we've done, we've had a lot of people come to us after the fact and be like, hey, we played for 2 hours. We loved it.
That's great.
We were drinking. We were laughing.
And
we
the book came first?
Well, the book is from our original writings.
Okay.
So all of that was written, and then we selected for the book our 100th favorite.
Okay.
Yeah, so that was kind of how we had everything originally written when we were sitting drunk in a cabin in Idlewild. And then,
so out of the yellow notepad sheets, this has come from that.
Yes.
And we gave this out to, the game was funded by, you know, a Kickstarter thing. So we gave the book out to all our Kickstarter people as a extra thank you.
Oh, like a token.
Yeah, just kind of like you get your game, but this is a thing you didn't know about. Just we appreciate it.
And there's no doubles. The book is completely separate of haikus.
Actually, a lot of the pieces of those haikus are in here, but they're all separated out. So because the idea is you're constructing your own.
Right.
You're not just reading.
And there's no performance card in that one.
Exactly.
That's the super wham factor right there.
Although we have been tempted to go to like an open mic poetry night and just pull out the book and just start going down the list.
Dude, you should. That would be. You should film that. That should be an ad.
I like that.
Seriously. No, you should. That's kind of stuff that, like, when I'm scrolling through, I don't want to see, like, infomercials on shit. Mm-hmm. I want to see funny stuff that makes me go, I need this because it's social and it's fun and it's cool.
All right. I think we have our next project for 2020.
See? This is great. Now, is it all grassroots marketing? Are you just targeting a certain college demographic, friends, you know, newlyweds? What's your demographic?
Definitely newlyweds, yeah.
Yeah, we like newlyweds. We started with the Kickstarter, which was last year. We raised over $13,000.
Amazing.
And then we've used that group of backers to kind of grow. Obviously, that was friends, family, some strangers, friends of friends.
Quite a few.
Amazing.
And then from there, we've just grown using, you know, free media, social media. We pay for a little bit of advertising, you know, here and there.
That's the hard part. Like, advertising doesn't really always do that much.
Well, it's hard to see whether it works or not. You know, like, that's the big thing too. You pay X amount, and you target so and so in Minnesota because they like games.
Right. I mean, well, because they're in the cold. Yeah. You know, it's like brings people together, especially this time of year.
And we also do this kind of like reverse robber marketing where we go into like establishments that have games, like bars and stuff that have games, and we just kind of like leave it there.
We have been known to leave our game. Yeah.
Yeah.
Really? We do That's ask really now, smart. Though, as well. Like,
I don't ask. I just slide it in.
Have you ever been to
go.
Spitz?
No.
No.
You got to leave it at Spitz or ask them. You got to. They usually have like Connect Four, Battleship. They have Cards Against Humanity. You should definitely, that's a target place that you should definitely, because it's like, that's what people do. They go there, they drink, and they play board games all night.
Absolutely. It's a huge thing at a lot of, you know, breweries and bars and restaurants around town is just like you're saying, you know, people go out, they want to do something there. They can either play the heads up game on their phone or something they can do together, but you know, having the cards, it's a bigger group activity than just like a two-person game.
Let's read a couple. I want to get more into the game. Maybe a wallet haiku if you have one.
I don't know if any of the wallet. I think I told him no wallet haikus
like,
in the
No, book. We can't. We have to. Nobody cares about wallets like you do.
You sound just like Brad, honestly. Like, there was a lot of yelling. I cried.
Wow. It's okay.
You went to therapy. We're okay now.
But you've been whispering haikus into each other's ears, and now it seems like you guys are back right on track.
Oh, absolutely. Well, here's one for you. This one does not have a wallet.
Okay, well, that's all right.
Do you have one?
No, you can just read. Oh, okay. Don't worry. My life will go on if there's.
I mean,
no
I'll find
wallet.
One for you.
Hey, find one, you've got about 40 minutes.
Oh, great. Because I was like, as well as not putting our name on the book, we did not create an index.
Oh, so, yeah. Wow, smart. Well, but you know what? That actually is good because it's like, you know what? Use at your own risk.
To be fair, we don't have page numbers either. So I'm not sure how you would have found.
Keeping it super ambiguous.
There's one for the holiday season.
Okay, here's one for the holiday season. True love is not real. Santa Claus is a burglar. Those were his last words.
I love these. These are quirky.
Thank you.
Yeah, we kind of started on a lot of things like, when we read through the initial 1,400 haikus, and it was a lot of like, fuck, dick, fart, like just going down the line. And then we got into I think one of the things that kind of set it off is you just out of nowhere, I don't even remember what the context was, but you're like, you're a wizard, Bill. And we're like, I don't know why, but that like cracked me up. And we like, well, that's a five.
You're
so
you're like, 1, 2, 3.
But it's like sometimes those simple things, especially when you add in like the performance, it mattered.
Right.
Like it made a big difference.
Well, and it's also the more random and consistent because you need that. If it's just random, then it's not really that clever.
Right.
But it's like when it is consistent, then it becomes this thing that is, oh, that's clever, funny, and we can be silly at the same time, you know?
Absolutely.
Oh, we wrote a haiku for you.
Oh, let's hear it. I love it.
You're a musician. Singy songy guitar man. I'll pirate your songs.
Love it. Story of my life. Who came up with that one? That's great.
Yeah, we literally wrote it at my house 10 minutes before coming here.
We need to do something special for our host.
Yeah. Yeah, we were going to come here with nothing.
Yeah.
We're going to leave you with the notice that we're going to steal your music.
Our body of work is now plus one.
Exactly. So we'll just put this into the, you know, the deck.
I love it. And you know what? Read me some of the performance cards. Like, give me like maybe 4 or 5 just to give people an idea of like what they're in for besides riding a falcon.
Yeah, okay. Let's see. You are giving the eulogy at a dog's funeral.
Ooh.
These are your final words before your public execution.
Ooh, that's a good one.
Mm-hmm. Let's see. Where are some other ones? You are a quarterback in the huddle. Everyone needs to huddle. So, and you do, you get some of these things where there's, you know, the football huddle. There's one that I remember too during the game testing that I still think about all the time. And there's a card that says, you are a T-Rex. Very simple. So this one guy gets up and, you know, he's got his little T-Rex arms out and he's kind of like stalking around the table. But then the haiku was something about finger-banging pudding cups.
Oh, wow.
So he's got his little dinosaur hands, like, doing this motion, and it was, like, the most absurd.
You're like, this is a keeper. We
like, I am responsible for this moment. Like, this is both.
Well, let me ask you this. Like, how did you edit the ones out? Were you like, was it too crass? Was it not silly enough? Like, what was the... What was the barometer?
I think it was a combination of, you know, some things were just like too random or just too crass, like you're saying. Some things like, you know, my parents didn't like, you know.
They're like, I like this game except for this one haiku.
Well, you're not like filtering yourself to start with, but then you like go back and read it. It's like, okay, we can have sex stuff and we can have animal stuff. We can't have sex with animal stuff.
We draw a line.
So it's like, that's where we got to stop. That's so we tried to be a little cognizant to just where we are collectively, you know, with like the Me Too movement, everything. It's like, we want people to have fun.
Right.
Yeah, it's not and mean. Like, there's it's not nasty.
Silly. You can be slightly offensive without being mean about it.
Right.
So we tried to do that. Obviously, we were taking out anything that was duplicating. But then we also tried to make sure we had a better balance of when you actually start piecing together a haiku with the available cards, we found that sometimes you couldn't just go funny, 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 funny. You needed to have ones that were like a connective tissue.
Sure. Or like an introspective.
Yeah.
To help contrast. Make it work. That's the contrast.
Yeah. Something like an opening line.
Yeah.
You know, or like a closing line. It's just, it's the straight man in the comedy.
And did you have certain ones that you always wanted? Like, are all the cards shuffled differently or they come in like a certain order that you know? If somebody pulls the first card, it's going to be...
That's a great question. I have no idea.
They're actually different, so I guess when the manufacturer packed the games, that there's like all no random. Two are like totally set up the same.
No, that makes it... No, I mean, honestly, it's like... When I always think about weird things like target marketing, so it's like those results, to me, I like that it's random. But sometimes people do make... If you look at like Uno, you open Uno, every pack looks exactly the same when you open it. Just there's something intentional about it.
I actually think that's the way it's supposed to be. These guys are just like, just throw that card.
They were the cheapest of the printers.
We got what we paid.
That's another question. Like, how did you come up with the graphics? Like, who did you kind of, you know, get involved? Did you find gaming companies?
Oh, we did all...
Did you get rejections?
This was all self-produced.
Oh, wow.
So Brad is really the chief designer here.
It's awesome.
And I would just like sit behind him and be like, can you do that? And he'd be like, you know, you're annoying me. Go get me something to drink. And then he would end up doing it.
Yeah, wow.
That's crazy. He's very good. This was all self-written, self-designed, self-produced.
We just delegated the work. So, you know, while I was doing the design work, David was taking all the different haiku elements and starting to drop them in. I gave him a quick tutorial on, like, how to drop this stuff in Illustrator and everything else. So he's just going through and dropping in, like, line after line after line for days.
That must have been time-consuming just to edit it. Just to make sure there's no spelling errors.
Oh, we probably...
Well, there were. And there probably still are.
There probably still are there.
That's all right.
But it was supposed to be that way. That was that was a spelling error by choice.
Like, did you catch it on edition one?
We call that an Easter egg.
Exactly. So let me ask you this now. Do you want to come up with different versions?
That's
volume
also...
Volume 2, volume 3.
That's a plan of ours. We'd like to do some kind of like specialty, you know, expansion packs. We're not 100% sure on how that's going to look yet, but we'd love to do like themed, maybe like a sports version or...
Mm-hmm. I was thinking you should do the crazy dirty version, the family version, the sports, you know, aholic version, whatever it is. So it's just like people know if you're opening this box, you know what you're getting in.
Yeah,
you know
exactly.
What I mean? It's like, it, you know, it's going to be a little bit... vulgar, absolutely, shall we say.
No, it'd be great to have the family or the kids version, because I think that the formula itself, without having to be horrible, really can be played by anybody, any age.
Right.
You know, and I think that once we would clean it up, it'd be, you know, maybe some church groups would be interested.
Yeah.
You know, that kind of thing.
Specifically targeted to church groups.
Yeah, we'll do the church group version. Yeah.
We should call the family version the church version.
Yeah, the churchy version. You're like, no.
I'm like, great. And they'll love that at my synagogue.
Make sure the vulgar version doesn't get accidentally printed or switched. None of the boxes can switch.
That'll be the Easter egg in that one.
Exactly. Intentional.
Yes. Then you actually got the vulgar box, Reverend.
Yeah, yes.
See how this goes. Social experiment 101. So let me ask you, too, who came up with the name?
That was me.
David.
Ah, so you were just like horrible haikus.
I love alliteration. I'm very boring like that. Like, I just like to take, you know, two words and smack them together. Like, we used to be in a comedy group. And I don't even remember what it was called anymore. Oh, Drunk Girls Love Us.
Oh yeah,
that was
right.
Our
yeah.
comedy group. It was a failed, obviously, comedy group. We've had a lot of failures over the years.
You talking like improv? Are you talking like sketch?
We did sketch for many years. Brad was in a few groups before I even met him back in college.
And, awesome.
You know, we came out here. We were still doing that for many years. Again, very intermittently.
Yeah, and then we were like, hey, we need to put fart jokes in poetry form. So
yeah. We need our work
change
to
of life
take
direction.
Some literary form that we can leave a legacy with.
Oh, absolutely.
And here it is.
It's a physical good. I mean, we've been making videos online for years and years. But, you know, the difference is you drop that and then that's it. You know, you've worked all this time and you drop the video and it's like people either watch it or they don't, you know.
Yep.
With the game, what's cool about it is it's like a physical good that people can interact with, whether it's now, whether it's in 5 years from now. It's still the same product. It's still something you can take with you. You can play more than once, you know.
Yeah.
That's been a really cool thing about
yeah.
it.
Yeah, and the playing more than once, that was like an important part to us in developing the game, because you get certain, I don't want to knock any, you know, games, but a lot of these type of party games, you go through the deck of cards and it's like you play again. It's like, okay, here, we know all the stuff.
Right.
And that's why we're kind of like, you know what? There's a lot of real estate on this card. Let's put two of these on every card. So then suddenly you're 550 cards. You've got 1,000 options.
Well, not only that, the performance cards change the variables.
Yeah,
so,
and absolutely. You can do the fives and sevens and fives because it's not just a single thing. You're constantly getting new combinations of things.
That's smart. Super smart.
So, you know, that was one of the things we really liked about it is you get a ton of gameplay just from the same amount of cards that you get with most of the party games.
I like that it's portable. It's like the size of, you know, maybe two decks of cards, maybe three, four.
Yeah, math would say 10.
10 or 12.
Well, I mean, it's just like you could literally put that in a suitcase.
Absolutely. You can bring that to an event.
It's a very gentle 2.1 pounds.
Did you have to, you probably had to weigh it, right?
Oh, yeah. We ship this thing all over the world. We have one that's like still in transit to like Uzbekistan or something.
We're sorry.
Yeah.
They're like, the camel has sailed off. Like, I don't know where this is going.
No, there's like some guy just wandering around like the countryside trying to find where this one person lives.
That's amazing. And it all started with a drunken conversation of what could we do to leave something that people would like to play with.
Absolutely.
Smart.
Yeah, it's been a fun experience working together. We like spending time together. So
and
it
it's just the two of you that created this game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And what was the biggest obstacle in making the game?
Ooh.
It's mostly that David can be a real dick.
Yeah, Brad is like really obstinate.
You guys are like the Lennon McCartney of the card gaming world.
Oh, wow. That is quite a compliment.
See, and the public has yet to find this out. This is like I'm getting behind the music right here.
I love this. Yeah, you'll find me drunk in a hotel with a strange woman calling press conferences. Is that Lennon? Or is that
I don't know what you're talking about, to be totally honest.
I can't remember.
You're like, okay.
This was like your dream last night.
Oh, no, that was much weirder.
Okay. Sweet. So let me ask you this. For reals, though, like if somebody wanted to create this, what would be the biggest obstacle you think in doing it? Was it the look of it, the marketing of it? Was it just coming up with the design of the game?
Well, I'll say I think we learned a lot.
Yeah.
You know, I think that was the biggest obstacle for us was the time that it took to really do everything ourselves.
Right.
Because the really from concept to production was like 2 years.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. It took significantly longer than I think we going into it were planning on. But I think a lot of that was us wanting to get it right.
And dialing it in.
Yeah.
Doing the tests.
I mean, we could have released it earlier and just, you know, thrown it out in the world, but it's like we wanted to kind of figure out where the kinks were. Where were the weaknesses? Like, just try to create it in a situation that would make it as fun as possible and that, you know, put it in a format that people would really enjoy, not just the one time, but would want to play again and again and again.
What I love is I love haikus. You know, I'm a writer, so it's like I love stuff like that. And it's like this, what's great about it is it's introducing such a simple literary form into, you know, kids' worlds or maybe teens, we'll say teens and,
yeah, teens
and even college kids, you know. So like once you know what the form is, that's what makes it fun. It's like knowing the wordplay within the form and it being clever.
Well, absolutely. Yeah. We've had a lot of people actually come to us afterwards who are starting to count their fingers as
wow.
well. They're like, oh, I came up with one, or I heard this. This is a good five for you. You should write this down.
I'm
like,
yeah, you get it buddy. All the time.
It's great.
Now, are you guys still counting, even with conversations with friends and loved ones?
Almost on a daily basis wow. still. It's gotten a little less since we've gotten out of the full production mode, but almost on a daily basis, I have something that I say or somebody else says, and it's like, you don't even... We've done it so much, you don't even really have to use your fingers. You're just like, I know, that's a five.
And there had to be one, like, as soon as you finish the whole thing and you got the first edition, you're like, I just came up with a good one.
Oh, yes.
Absolutely.
You're like, damn it.
I think we actually had one when we were unpacking the, like, pallets. The game finally got delivered. David said something. I wish I remember what it was. But we literally were like, that's a seven. That's a great seven. And we're like,
God damn it!
yes, exactly.
You're like, that's it. How can we make this card? Maybe we can put it as a sticker on the inside of the box.
Exactly. Well, yeah, we'll stick it in the box.
Yeah, it was the height of our misery. We're like unpacking pallets in a hot truck. It smells like formaldehyde. Like, it was like, oh god.
Oh, is that what that smell was?
Yeah, I don't know. Does it smell like chloroform?
He's like, yes. Now, did you come up with a company name or anything like that?
Yeah, we are 575 Games. Which,
tell me about that, just because of the form of haikus, 575?
Hunters, yeah.
Yeah.
100%. So now all your games have to be haikus, or at least the first five or six, right?
Yeah,
well, we figured it was kind of enough where it's like, yeah, if people obviously know us from Horrible Haikus, then they'd get the 575. But if it's on another game, they'd be like, oh, that must be like the area code they are from.
Right.
So, I like to tell people that's how many we're aiming for. You know, like, we're going to make 575.
We only have 574 to go.
So we're on our way.
You have a lot of yellow pads of content,
yeah.
at least.
Yeah. I'm a Costco member.
See?
Trust me.
There you go.
Yeah, I got
and
that
I like
Kirkland
the little
paper.
Origami. You're like, how can we make this logo a little bit more Japanese? Origami.
That's right. That's a testament to Brad's design skill.
No, it's pretty tight. Actually, I really like it a lot.
Thank you.
I think it's amazing. And how did you choose the image, like the brand, the actual red? What it's looks like waves?
Yeah, it's kind of the classic Japanese wave image. But then we kind of turned it into a mountain with a man running away.
It's awesome.
From the giant storm. So, yeah, we just took that and we tried to, you know, get fonts and everything that we felt all were cohesive. I don't even know why we came up with the red. Blue
I think it looks skin. Awesome. Like I'm all about branding and logos. Like I think certain things are kind of amazing when they become something like the Nike swoosh.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And like I look at fonts, I look at like all the little things. You guys did everything right.
Thank you.
That must have been an amazing feeling when it actually arrived in the box and it was no longer a file on your computer that you had to scroll down to edit. It was like a tangible thing. Tell me what that feeling was like.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that was a great feeling. Despite all the extra rigmarole of going down to the dock and having to get it out a bond or whatever it was, and we had to pay people.
Really?
Yeah, it's
Are
a
you
whole
joking?
Thing.
Oh,
yeah,
no, yeah. It's,
seriously?
Yeah, because the international, you know, production, so they had shipping. And it.
Wow.
I mean, and this was all stuff where, like, doing for the first time,
right,
so we're just
right.
kind of figuring it out where it goes, and the whole time we're like, this can't be right.
Right, and some guy's like, take some cash and this envelope, walk over to that guy.
No way.
Yeah, like a guy we found on the internet, he's like, here's how you do this. You're going to take some cash to this guy. You're like, we're going to get fucking murdered. I'm never gonna see this game because I'm gonna be stabbed on this dock.
But yeah, we picked it up. We got a truck from U-Haul.
Thank you, U-Haul.
Yeah, thanks, U-Haul. And yeah, we unloaded what, 2.5 pallets or something.
Yeah, that was the worst moment of the game, was unloading.
Wow,
there's a lot of games.
Just yeah, hundreds. How many did you print?
We printed over 1,000.
Yeah, wow. Yeah, with kind of the over under production came to 1,100. I think
1,100.
Yeah. Wow,
which the majority of them are in Brad's house.
Wow, still.
There's quite a bit.
Well, let's get rid of those. How can people buy them?
Well, they can go to horriblehaikusgame.com.
Spell it out because people are dumb.
HORRIBLE.
You said
R. R, because I'm a pirate. Haikus with an S, HAIKUS, game.com.
Horriblehaikusgame.com.
You got it. Yep. We're also on eBay. We're soon to be on Amazon. We can meet you in person.
Yeah, David legitimately does home deliveries.
That's amazing. That's amazing.
Absolutely.
And you need, you know what? You need reviews and stuff. Are you doing? How do you get reviews on games?
Well, there's actually a great game community, which we've just discovered. We're trying to get more into because we didn't know about it. We're a little late to the game, but it's called BoardGameGeek.com, and a lot of folks swear by it. It's like the Bible. You know, or the Yelp of games. Yeah, so if full anyone likes
information, it. Ranking, everything. Yeah. I mean, like our game was up there and we're like, oh, okay. Oh, yeah, and there's all this information about it. Like, we didn't even know that about our own game. Like, this is great.
That's crazy.
Yeah, you can review there. People can go to BoardGameGeek.com and give us a review, whether they like it or not. You know, we're open to criticism.
Where would you like to see people playing it the most?
Oh.
At home, out and about, doesn't matter.
I think it doesn't matter. I mean, obviously, it's for us, it's nice when people play in public because without question,
visibility.
People start going like, what is this man doing standing on his chair yelling about dildos? Like, this is so bizarre. I must know what's happening.
Right.
So it's fun in public because you'll see it. And it's been really weird. I mean, you probably get this with your music and it's like you'll like always be somewhere and you're like, oh, that's my song. And it's like it's weird to go in a place and be like, those people are playing my game.
Yes.
Like, this is awesome.
That's the best feeling, actually.
Yeah.
Because it's like you've realized the reach. You're like, this came out of nothing, and it's turned into something, and it's, you know, tangible, it's viable, it's all those things. So that's an amazing feeling.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, thrilling feeling. I'd love to see more people playing it. Obviously,
in their bathrooms?
At the bars. Yeah. I was going to say in the park.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Bathrooms, yeah. I mean, obviously.
I see this as like couples, dinner parties, Christmas parties, like everybody gets birthdays, a little saucy and they're like ready to play some games, an after dinner kind of game, out and about at a brewery or a bar.
It's definitely, I mean, you don't have to drink, but it's definitely one of those big group activities when you're all out doing something and you want to be silly.
The only reason I say that, it's like people are so inhibited to be silly. That's what I already love about the game when I was just researching and I was like, this is so great because we need more of this. Not taking ourselves so seriously. Just not talking politics and not talking about, you know, ways that we're different. Mm-hmm. This is something that kind of bonds people.
So, yeah, that was the thing we didn't really know because obviously from our backgrounds, a lot of our friends and, you know, spouse, whatever, are in the acting community and they're not afraid to just get up and they want to be seen.
And
they
want
to put on a show. Yeah, and they're really good. And we're like, okay, but how is this going to work when it's, you know, not that group of people?
Right. But that's when it's really fun because you get surprises.
Right. And usually what happens is you'll get some people that'll kind of be quiet, and then there's that one person in the group that goes for it, and then everyone else is like, oh, shit, now I got to go for it, and I'm never going to win. So then people start loosening up, and it gets to that point. But usually the first, like, round or two, it's a little bit like low key, but it's, you can literally look at a table from outside of people playing the game and be like, that's the person, that's the one that's gonna bring it out of everybody. Like, you just see it.
What was the funniest group of people that you saw playing it? Was it like college kids? Was it adults? Was it, who was the most willing to be silly?
Oh, yeah, that's a good question. Yeah, I mean, we've seen a lot of different ages play.
We had one test table. It was the one with the T-Rex finger banging a pudding cup. And that table was really strange.
I didn't think I was going to hear that phrase.
Now you've heard it twice. But it was that table, and I remember it because it was like people that were, you know, early 20s. There was a couple there that were in their 60s. None of them knew each other.
Wow.
These are just people that were like, hey, we're doing this game testing thing. We'd love to have you, you know, try it out. And well, what is it? Group of about, I think there were 9 or 10 people, and just all, you know, completely different age range, demographics, all different. And they were having a blast.
That's it.
Yeah.
That's
it, right? So that was kind of the remarkable thing, because we were, had kind of pictured and be like, okay, who's our real target? It's kind of like college age through like, you know, 40,
right.
You know, but it's, yeah, we've seen people, even though my parents are slightly embarrassed by some of the cards, like they like it.
Right.
Like they were having a blast, and it's really fun to watch your mom try to say some of the horrible things that are on the cards.
Like, I'm sorry about that card. Card number 434. That wasn't mine.
That was Brad. I didn't write it.
That's always
I
the swear. Defense. That's
David. Do you claim any of the cards when people are playing it in front of you? Like, I came up with that.
100%.
Yes.
100%. There are some that we both claim. I think, you know, we forget sometimes. But there's definitely some that I'm like, I did that.
Yeah.
That's amazing. That's amazing. And especially because you're bringing people together of all demographics, too. So you know there is a target market, but you see that people of all ages and ethnicities and culture groups or whatever it is can just take a moment to be silly.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I like this. All right, one more time. Where can people find your game if they are going on social media? Just list off all the social media handles, and then we'll go back to the website.
Okay. We are on Instagram at @horriblehaikus_. We are on Twitter. It's also @horriblehaikus_. We're on Facebook. Just search for Horrible Haikus, and you can go to our website and peruse and purchase at horriblehaikusgame.com.
And we are on Tinder at Horrible Haikus Game.
No way. Really?
No, but we're going to be in about 5 minutes. That is something that's
awesome.
Going to happen.
Where's the most unexpected place you would like to see it played?
The moon.
Oh, I like that. Good answer.
We dream big.
Yeah, here. Dude, let's
moon
go interstellar.
Yeah.
Moonshots. No, honestly, I could see this at, there's so many restaurants that this would be a happening thing where they have stuff like this available and people just go grab it. So, yeah, that's kind of what you want. You want people, that's like that grassroots thing where people just start talking about it because it's a thing that they didn't expect. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Absolutely. And that's part of also our strategy we mentioned earlier where we just leave games at places. I mean, that has been pretty positive.
Yeah,
we've gone
reverse
back
robbery
in.
Works well.
It's, yeah. Well, no, we didn't robbery. Break in. We were invited in.
You were invited
yeah.
in.
And left something.
And left.
And
you
we
left a legacy.
Something.
Let's.
Yeah.
You left your legacy.
We left a gift.
Yes, a gift. A gift that keeps on giving.
Absolutely. We're the dirty Santa Claus.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. Get this game for all of your family and friends. Horrible Haikus. You can get it at
HorribleHaikusGame.com.
Or
visit us on Tinder.
See, I like that. You're going for the dirty route and the PC route. Well, guys, you're going to have to come back when you have more games, more additions. Let's talk more haikus. You want to leave us with a haiku to go?
Oh, sure.
I want you each to leave us with a haiku
okay.
to go. The haiku of your choice.
Oh, here. I'm sure you want to read that one.
Mm. Which one?
Probably that one.
Yeah, I think that I wrote that one, so mm-hmm. that's a good one. Alcohol guides me. Pantsless, I embrace the tree. How did I get here?
Hold on. You need one of these.
Yes. Oh, thank you.
Yes.
Thank you.
Our studio audience loved that one. All right, David, you got some high expectations to leave us with.
I always. Brad is really the star of the relationship, clearly. I'm just going to... Oh, wow.
You saw nipples and you're like, I'm going to scroll
yeah,
over like that
things
one.
Things about raw meat. You know, there's,
like, how do I make this count? I'm the big closer.
Like,
what is the...
Which one?
Oh, I thought there was...
How about this one? You made a bad choice. Binge watching your mom's sex tapes. A life of regrets. Again, yeah, I'm not,
that's perfect.
I'm not the closer.
No,
yeah.
Hey, you know what? That was the closer. Horrible Haikus, pick up this game online, soon to be available on Amazon, soon to be available, and already currently available on eBay, you said?
on eBay.
Dude, I love that you did this grassroots. I love that you guys are being creative in a literary form. It's awesome.
Thank you so much.
We want to hear more about what's going on with the game. So thank you guys for being guests. Happy holidays. And we'll see you guys here next week.